Good morning, returned family. Amen. Isn't God so wonderful? Amen. He's an awesome God and just a wonderful presence, a wonderful spirit in our midst here this morning. And it's just so wonderful to just get enthroned in His Spirit. Amen. And just feel what He is able and has the ability to do when we surrender our hearts and our lives and everything that we are over to Him. I'm not going to hold you as long this morning because we're a little late, but I'm good with that because the Spirit has been moving and we always want to allow the Spirit to operate. And so I won't hold you a tremendous amount of time this morning. In fact, I won't hold you any longer than Elizabeth Taylor held her seventh husband. So we'll be quick this morning. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. We're going to begin reading in verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 24. I'm excited about what God is doing here at Return and just the presence of revival and seeing people give their hearts to Jesus. Amen. That's what this is all about. It's not about the stained glass and religious process and religious ideas and religiosity and all those things. It's about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as our motto here at Return says, returning to what really matters, a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. I want to talk to us here this morning for the few minutes that we have on making the right choice. Making the right choices in life. Making the right choice about living for Jesus. Let us pray this morning. Dear Lord, as we enter into your word, as always, I just pray, God, that you would challenge our spirits, challenge our hearts today to hear what you would have for us to make us better in our relationship with you. For God, we all have struggles here this morning and we all have imperfections in areas of our lives where we could make better decisions. We love you and honor you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this morning I want to talk to us on making the right choices. Every day we make hundreds and possibly even thousands of decisions in our lives. Many decisions we make we may not even be particularly aware of it, but some of the decisions that we make in life are weighty decisions. They are very important decisions. Decisions of who we're going to marry, decisions of the job we're going to work on, decisions of things that we make in life. When we make decisions, the one thing that is a must is that we be in God's will for our lives. We want to be wise and discerning, and above all, we want to keep in the center of God's will. First, let me say that all decisions should be made in light of God's word. The Bible should be the plumb line by which our lives are measured. And so important decisions in our life, we must first pray about those decisions, and we must get our heart right with God about our decisions, and we must seek God's counsel through His Word. In Romans 12 and verse 2, and this is not on our overhead this morning, I added this morning as I was restudying my thought, and it said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." I want us to notice in our verses this morning that all of this took place because a choice was made. Every Israelite was saved from cruel bondage because of this choice. Because Moses made the right choice in verse 29 when he said, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land." You see, the choices that you make, whether good or bad, will determine your outcome in life. Life, I have a couple of quotes I want to share with you here this morning. The first one by Graham Brown. He said, "Life is about choices. Some we regret, some we're proud of, some will haunt us forever, but the message is this. We are what we have chosen to be." The quality of your life is built upon the quality of your decisions. We are our decisions. But I want to assure you this morning that because you have come into this building, there is a hope for you today. Maybe you have made bad decisions, but there is Jesus that is waiting on you this morning. And because of that, you can walk in the newness of life, and you can begin to make good decisions and good choices that will make you what Christ has ordained for you to be. In Mark chapter 8 and in verse 35, I want to read to you these verses this morning. In Mark chapter 8 and verses 35 through 37. "For whosoever will save his life," or whosoever desires to save his life, "will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it." Verse 36. "For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Verse 37. "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, the fact of the matter is that every man, woman, boy, or girl are made up of decisions, both good and bad. Each of us have a battle to choose, and that is to pursue after the good and to shun the bad. There has been the shipwreck of many who have fallen victim to the wrong choices and wrong decisions in life. If you go to the jailhouse this morning, you will find a jailhouse full of those who could not resist taking that which they desired in total violation to both God's laws and the laws of man. And so everyone comes to the crossroads of life where they must make the choice. And so the question from me to you this morning is this: which choice will you make? Will you make a decision that, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord? Or will you make a decision to live by the ways of the world? In Psalms 119, in verses 113 through verse 115, in the New Living Translation Bible, it says this: I hate those who are undecided whether or not to obey you, but my choice is clear. I love your law. And then in verse 114, it said, you are my refuge and my shield, and your promises are my only source of hope. You see, when the rest of the world is undecided, and when everyone around you doesn't know if they want to obey the will of God, David said this. He said, God is my refuge. He said, God is my shield. He said, God is my strength. He said, God is my promise. He said that God is my only source of hope, and it is in God in whom I am going to put my trust. He is my clear choice this morning. Paul wrote and he said, if I have hope in this world only, I am of all men most miserable. How many of you have come to understand that there's not a lot of hope in this world? I cannot put my hope in things. I cannot put my hope in family. I cannot put my hope in any other thing. My hope has to come from God and the finished work of Jesus Christ when He died upon Calvary. And so I don't know about you this morning, but I choose to praise, I choose to worship, I choose to have joy in my life, I choose to have peace in my life, I choose to have victory in my life. There's not a lot of hope in the world, but there is hope in Jesus Christ this morning. Can you give Him praise all across this house today? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10, let's go there for just a moment. In Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38, and I want to read to you a few verses in verse 38 through 42 in Luke chapter 10. Now it came to pass, or now it happened, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And then in verse 42, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 42, in God's Word translation, it says it like this: there's only one thing you need. Mary has made the right choice, and that one thing will not be taken away from her. I want to tell us this morning as a church that it takes a lot of things to make a church go. We need planning, we need serving, we need doing for others, we need cleaning the church, we need fellowship, and we need all of these things. And all of these things are scriptural. But what Jesus was trying to say here is that if we lose sight on what really matters, all of the planning and all of the serving and all of the doing will be absolutely nothing if we lose focus upon what really matters. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, it said, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Let me say it again this morning. I choose to praise. I choose to worship. I choose joy. I choose peace. And I choose victory because Jesus has already supplied it for me. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I'm going to tell you this morning, whether it come hell, whether it come famine, whether it come dry water, whatever it might come, I can say today that as for me and my house, I'm going to serve Jesus. Come on, give Him praise in this house this morning. And so a choice had to be made in Pilate's hall. Which one will it be? Will it be Barabbas or will it be Jesus? Will you choose the thief? Will you choose the robber? Will you choose the murderer? Or will you choose the one who is the blind eye opener and who is the deaf ear healer? Who do you choose this morning? And they chose Barabbas, but today you can choose Jesus. Time would not to permit to tell of all the wrong choices about the Achans and about the Sauls and about the end results. How many of you know that sin never shows the end results? It will offer you the top. It will offer you to look very pretty in the beginning, but the season will end, and at the end of the season, you will end up at the bottom of life. Sin will offer you freedom when it's really nothing but bondage. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, it said, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live." You see, you're not only choosing life for you this morning, but you're choosing life for your descendants. You're choosing life for your family. You're choosing life for your children. You're choosing life for your grandchildren. You have the power this morning to choose life, or you can choose death. The writer said that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Some people may choose to accept their sickness, but I say today, I choose healing. Yes, some people may choose to accept depression, but I don't. I say, I choose joy. Some people may choose to accept defeat, but I don't accept it today. I choose victory. Some people may choose to accept their bad decision, but I don't. I choose Jesus, the one that can make a bad situation and turn it into a good situation. Back to our original verses this morning in Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 29. I want to read them again one more time. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I thank God that it didn't stop right there. Because look at verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he took the reward. And in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. In verse 30, or no, that's as far as we're going, verse 29. All of this because they made the right choice. I want to ask you this morning, what is your choice? If you want the Holy Ghost, that's the right choice. If you want joy unspeakable and full of glory, that's the right choice. If you want peace in your home this morning, in your life, that is the right choice. If you want joy in your life, that is the right choice. If you want the ways of God, that is the right choice. I want to ask you this morning, what do you want in your life this morning? If you want Jesus, that is the right choice. And He is here for you this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, there are youthful lusts that war against the soul, and they do hold great enticement. Sin offers its great pleasures, but those pleasures are only for a season. I want us to never forget that walking with God does have its afflictions, yet these two are only for a season. Never forget that the pleasures of God are for eternity, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Romans chapter 11, I'm sharing a lot of scriptures with you this morning. Romans 11, chapter number 2, in the Message Bible, it says this. Do you remember that time that Elijah was agonizing over this same Israel and cried out in prayer? God, they murdered your prophets. They trashed your altars. I'm the only one left, and now they're after me. Our next verse. Let's see, verse number 3. And do you remember God's answer? I still have 7,000 who have not quit. 7,000 who are loyal to the finish. It's the same today. There's fiercely local minority still. Not many perhaps, but probably more than you think. They're holding on, not because of what they think they're going to get out of it, but because they're convinced of God's grace and God's purpose choosing them. If they were only thinking of their own immediate self-interest, they would have left long ago. And then in verse 7, and then what happened? Well, then Israel tried to be right with God on her own, pursuing her own self-interest. She did not succeed. The chosen ones, God, were those who let God pursue His interest in them, and as a result, received His stamp of legitimacy. You see, the reason that God chose them was simple. They were the only ones that chose God. While everyone else was putting their own self-interest, there was a few who let God pursue His interest in them. In other words, they made a decision to choose God. In Revelation 17 and verse 14, it said, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb of God shall overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with Him are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. You see, those that are called and those that are chosen And those that have made the right choice, they stuck with Jesus through the good times and through the bad times. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, and I'm going to close down with this verse this morning. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." Amen. In this verse, Peter gives four descriptions of what God's people are to be. He says, first, you are a chosen generation. Now, the Greek word here is the word genos, and it means you are a kindred, you are an offspring, you are a family. And so we are a chosen family, we are a kindred family, we are the offspring, we are the kindredness. And then he says, you are a royal priesthood. Number two, what exactly does this mean? In the Old Testament, the priest's essential functions was to make fellowship possible between a holy God and sinful people. That was the purpose of the priest. They served as intercessors or mediators between God and the people. So how are the people of God a royal priesthood? It's because under the new covenant, Christians with God's Spirit can fulfill the basic functions that ancient Israel needed a priest for. In other words, we have direct access to Jesus. We can pray directly to God. We have God's law written in our hearts, and we have the ability to discern between good and between evil. And then the third thing he said, you would be a holy nation. In the Old Testament, Israel fell far short of this standard. They could hardly be characterized by holiness. But today, Christians are different. They are to personify holiness in their lives every day. Holiness, when applied to people, essentially means the quality of being set apart to God and to live morally and to live upright and righteous lives based upon God's word. And then number four, he says His own special people. Israel consistently failed to fulfill God's purpose for them. And instead of being a special and distinct people, they embraced the sins and the idolatries of the nations that surrounded them. But the church today is different. Instead of blending in with the world, for the church, we need to stand out. We need to be blameless. We need to be harmless. We need to be without fault. And we need to be a light that is shining in a dark and dying world because of the light of Jesus that lives on the inside of us. And in closing this morning, declaring God's greatness is one reason for our very existence. As our praise team returns to the music, when we praise Him, we fulfill one of our purposes. He has called us out of darkness of a meaningless life. He has called us out of an eternity apart from Him. And He has called us into a wonderful and into a marvelous light because we belong to Him and we belong to His light this morning. This morning, I don't know where you stand in your position with Christ. I don't know where you are in your relationship today. But I want to assure you today that God wants to help you with your choices. He wants to help you with your decisions. Maybe you've come into this place today and you've made poor decisions and terrible decisions. Today is a new day. Today is a new start. Today is a fresh day. It's a fresh anointing for your life. And you can make a decision today that you're going to serve the Lord, that you're going to walk with Him through the good and through the bad, that you're going to be guided by His light. And when the enemy tries to come in like a flood, you can raise up a standard against it through His word. As we stand in this building this morning, I want to open up this altar. And I want you to this morning, if God is speaking into your spirit, and you've yet accepted Jesus Christ into your life, to not go another day and make this your day of salvation. God bless this one that is coming. There are others in this building today that you need to walk into the fullness of your relationship with Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've already accepted Jesus Christ into your life, but you can say, I'm not really walking fully and holy, and I'm not really as surrendered as I should be. This altar is open to you this morning. Bless these others that are coming and continuing to come. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise in this house this morning. God, we just lift you up and we magnify you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, you take away the confusion in our lives and you set us free from the bondage and the chains that we have sang about this morning. And we are released from those chains and we are released from the darkness and we are released from the bondage, God, that is over our lives. And God, today we release it in the name of Jesus. And we come clean before you in your presence. And we ask God to be set free. In Jesus' name. Can we have some to come?